Our New Testament scripture, our epistle lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hear now the word of our Lord. Brothers, I would not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? After all, what is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made the increase. So neither he nor plant who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, but someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on his foundation using gold, silver, and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If anyone of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool, so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. And this is the word of our Lord. Tell me, how many of you think of yourselves as God's holy temple? How often do you consider yourself to be God's holy temple? Dwelling place. Wow, it's kind of scary, isn't it? So the question is this the kind of place that you would prepare for the Lord? If the Lord is coming, what kind of place would you prepare for God? Do you believe that you look like that place? Do Do you believe that that place can be made holy? You know, as we study the Old Testament scriptures and we read the scriptures, it goes through the books of the Bible and the early books in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and a lot of the books in the Bible talking about how to prepare the place for God. In Exodus, we had God coming to the people and creating Israel as the people of God. Of course, He had created Israel as the people of God long before they knew it. Back with Abraham, when He promised Abraham that He would make him the father of many nations, of many people. And don't you remember as God accomplished this by taking the people, His people, of which were only about 70, and through His work through Joseph, having him sold into slavery, we talked about this last week, having Joseph been sold into slavery and taken away as a slave to Egypt, and over the years Joseph prospered and became the number two ruler under the Pharaoh of Egypt and received the 70 remnants of his family during a famine into Egypt. And they grew to over a million people over the next 400 years. They didn't grow to a member of 400 Egyptian citizens. They were 400 of God's chosen people, kept separate from the Egyptians, living separate from the Egyptians in their midst. God saw to this. And then when God took them out of Egypt, separating the waters, as they crossed over the water through the Red Sea, God led them by day in a cloud and by night in the fire. And then God instructed them how to build the tabernacle. He gave them exact dimensions. He told them what they were to construct it of, what kind of skins would be used as protective outer coverings of the tabernacle, and what kind of material was used on the inner type, and what type of wood things would be made from, and how to make the ark that would contain the Ten Commandments and other sacred things, and how to make the separate inner parts of the tabernacle where only the priest could go, and only once a year. The innermost part of the tabernacle where God said that He would dwell among them. But all that changed with Jesus Christ. All that changed when Jesus was on the cross and Jesus said, "It is finished," and He died. The curtain that kept that part of the temple sacred and separate ripped apart from top to bottom. And from that time on, as Jesus had promised, Jesus would come to you in the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. All those who believe and accept Him as Jesus Christ and Savior, He comes to dwell in you. But God can't dwell in a place that's not holy. He told Moses as he approached him in the burning bush, "Take off your shoes because you're on holy ground." In order for God to come into the temple, the people roaming through the wilderness for 40 years had to prepare the temple in just a certain way. Only certain people were able to move the portions of the temple, and only then by holding it in rods that passed through rings that could never touch the sacred pieces of the temple, of the worship furniture. They couldn't touch the ark. They couldn't touch the seat. They couldn't touch the holy things. But this holy God, who is Jesus Christ, who is the Holy Spirit, who is God the Father says, in the words of Jesus Christ, that I will come and dwell in you, and I will send you a helper, an advocate, that He will send the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, because you believe in me, I am in you, and you are in me, and I am in the Father. And you can come to the Father through me. So the question we have to understand is, how have we prepared this most holy place for the Spirit to dwell? What are we doing to assure that our lives are glory to God? What are we doing to assure that we are living in a way that praises God? If we go to 2 Corinthians, in the 6th chapter, starting in verse 16, it says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And I would caution you not to think of idols as some ancient pagan thing that's far away, but idols are the life of this world, are the things of this world. They're the things that pop up on your computer screen. They're the things that pop up on the TV ad. They're the things that are in the shows that you might be a little embarrassed if a family member walks in and sees you watching. Those are the idols. Those are the things that you put your heart into that have nothing to do with God. So what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then chapter 7, Paul goes on to say, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and the spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. Don't just think body. Body and spirit. Perfecting holiness out of reverence to God. Part of the reason that we have a confession prayer each week is to cleanse the temple. Is to cleanse the temple of God. Part of the reason that we say the Apostles' Creed each week is to prepare the temple for God. The reason that we open with prayer is to prepare the temple for God. The reason that we sing hymns of praise is to praise God for what He has done for us and what He's doing for us. The reason that we have the Word is to teach us what God wants of us, what God demands of us to be His people. That we spend time reading His Word, that we spend time praising Him and worshiping Him, that we spend time asking God to open His Word so that we can understand. And you don't need a preacher to do that. You don't need a teacher to do that. Because you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to the very simplest of people what the Word of God means. You don't need me to do that. You need to pray to God and ask for revelation. and read his word and prepare the temple and prepare a place for him. Just as God has said, and Jesus said to you, he said, I will go and prepare a place for you. But he has told us that we must prepare a place for him. And that place must be holy. Now, does that mean that I ever think that I will be worthy as a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Only through the grace of God. Only by covering my sins with the blood of Christ. Only by God not being able to see me as I am because of Jesus Christ standing there. Only in the shadow of Jesus Christ can I ever be worthy. But in the shadow of Jesus Christ, when I'm covered with his blood, when I have received the Holy Spirit, I can receive the Holy Spirit. I can provide a dwelling place for God. In the shadow of Jesus Christ, you can prepare a place for God. Covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, you can prepare a dwelling place. With the grace that God has given you through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can have a place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. A holy place. A worthy place. A place of praise and thanksgiving. Jesus Christ is calling us to provide that place. To be that place. I mean, we sing the song, I Have the Love of Jesus. We sing the songs that, you know, Jesus loves me. We sing the songs that it is well with my soul. How can it be well with our soul if we don't have a place for the Spirit to dwell? And that takes preparation. That takes consistency. That takes perseverance. And it's not going to be easy because the world does not want this to be. The world does not want Jesus Christ to dwell in your heart. The world does not want you to have a holy place for the Spirit to dwell. The world does not want this to happen. The world will distract you. The world will draw you away. The world will call you stupid. The world will call you foolish. The world will laugh at you and will mock you. But Jesus Christ will come and will dwell in you and will give you peace that the world cannot offer. The world can never provide. And Jesus Christ will give you salvation. And the world gives you death. And Jesus Christ will give you hope. And the world will give you promises. And Jesus Christ will give you eternal life. And the world will bring you to hell and damnation. We must prepare a place for our Lord. We must prepare a holy place for our Lord. We must cover ourselves with the blood of Christ, just as we sang in the song. We must ignore the mocking of the world, the wisdom of the world. We must ignore the people who know all about everything, the people who have had great gifts of eloquence and are very convincing. And they're very convincing because it's what we want to hear. It's much, much easier to go along and get along. It's much, much easier to be one of the people of the world. But it's much more blessed to be one of the people of God. It is eternity. It is holiness. It is hope. It is joy. And don't miss out on the joy. of Jesus Christ. Living, preparing yourself to be a holy place for the Holy Spirit to dwell, preparing yourself to be the temple of God, preparing yourself and girding up your life and everything with the armor of God, as it talks about in Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God. And go back and read that this afternoon, Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God to fend off those things of the world, is wonderful, is marvelous, is peaceful. And it's nothing that the world could ever hope to match. So my friends, it is very important that we regard ourselves as God's holy temple. That we regard the things that the world tells us that are contrary to that as foolishness. That we regard the wisdom that we hear from other people who talk about a better way, a way to get along, and a way to be loved, and a way to be happy, and a way to fulfill yourself, and a way to be all that you can be, is certainly the way to damnation. We have to remember, as often I quote in the first line of the book, A Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, he said, the first words are, it's not about you. So we have to put ourselves aside and live our lives for Christ. We have to put our desires aside and desire to know the things of Christ. We have to put our greed aside and desire to be a holy place. And as we read a couple weeks ago, God said in the scripture, it's not too difficult, it's not too hard for you to do, that I have provided a way. And Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Christ. And there is a way. And it's a good way. It's a better way. And it's the only way to receive everlasting life. But it's the only way to be truly happy in this life. So I would urge you to examine the temple and to look and clean out and dust out and sweep out the cobwebs and spend time in the Word and spend time giving God the praise and giving God the glory and spending time looking for ways that you can share the good news with others so that they too can become the temple, the holy place for God to dwell. Amen.